How's everyone doing today? Good. Glad you guys are here. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, and we're going to be talking about navigating the storms of life. This is really for the 9 o'clock service. You guys don't have any storms that ever come into your lives, but when you run across those people that do, you'll have something to give them. But the truth is this, we have lots of storms in our lives. And a storm by nature is destructive. And God allows us to go through storms. In fact, sometimes leads us into them. And so God wants to do something in the storm that can only be done in a storm to build our lives. So whatever the enemy means for harm, God will turn that into something good. So we're going to look at that. We're going to glean something from the apostles today. You know, in the first three chapters of Mark, and Mark was a person that went through storms like any one of us. The guy that wrote this gospel was actually the secretary to the apostle Peter, who dictated to him in the shortest of the gospels what he felt and was spirit-led to share as being super important. This is what these people need to know. And Mark started out by not knowing the Lord Jesus. He basically came to the knowledge through the apostle Paul, who came later on in the picture. And Paul went on a missionary trip one time, and he took this young guy, Mark, who was probably 18, 19 years old at the time with him. And Mark got freaked out at some point of that journey and and bailed and went home. And Paul, this great apostle, held it against him. And Paul, when he went on another missionary journey, Mark ran over and said, "Hey, I want to go with you. I want to go." And Paul told him, "No, you can't come." And he was devastated, and there was a rift in the relationship. And Barnabas was the one that took this young man under his wing and ultimately introduced him to Peter. And through that huge storm in his life, God used him to write this gospel under the tutelage of Peter. It's important for you to know that, because when we oftentimes see people in Scripture, we see the glory. Hey, before there's ever glory, there's always a story. There is a story that precedes the glory. And Scripture tells us God takes us from glory to glory to glory, which means He reveals something awesome in us and His work in us over and over again in our lives. But in between all those glories, there's a story. And how many know that some stories are gory? But that's where the storms come in. Because here's something you need to know about a storm. There's an expiration date on it. Storms start and storms end. And when you enter a storm, that means you're going in a direction. And there will be a destination to that. And the longest you can have a storm in your life is till you die. Then it's over. That might be the expiration date. But for most of the storms in our life, they come and they'll go, and God wants to do something in them, in us. So we're going to pick up the story of the apostles. Actually, the first story that Peter tells Mark to write about in his gospel, which is his good news, his story of Jesus. The first three chapters talk about Jesus doing his miracles and coming and proclaiming himself a king that is taking over the colony of this earth, which was once under the kingship of heaven. And it became hostile territory when the demonic forces overtook it. And it's been promised throughout all the Old Testament that the king, the rightful king, was going to come and inaugurate the kingdom of God. And Jesus, when he came, that's what he was doing. And he demonstrated his power, because a king without power isn't anything. He demonstrated his power by casting out demons, by healing the sick, by doing miraculous things in nature. And during his first year of ministry, Jesus was kind of by himself. Then he started gathering disciples. And then in the third chapter, we see that he took these disciples to a hill one day and out of that group picked 12 of them and said, you guys are going to be the spearheads of the kingdom into the world. And it will go on until I come back. They didn't tell him that part yet because they didn't know he was going. But they became this special group. And inside that group, there was four of them that became the most inner circle. But these 12 guys followed Jesus intensely. Now, the first story we hear about them as a group, you guessed it, is in a storm. It's not about doing miracles. It's not about anything else except they went through a heavy trial. That's why I tell people when they come to Jesus, hold on. Hold on. Don't listen to anybody that tells you it's all great. It's like going through a bed of, well, it's kind of going through a bed of roses, except there's a lot of thorns. And there's a lot of stuff. Why? Because most of us come to God with something we want him to do, whatever that issue is. Something drives us to him. Well, the problem is he sees a whole bunch more issues that we didn't even ask him about. And then he gets all up in our business and starts dealing with all these other things. Why? Because he wants to make us whole. And why? Because we have a mission on this earth. It isn't just to make some money, perhaps have some kids, perhaps get married, perhaps get some money and die. In fact, that's a reason a lot of us checked out into different areas of life, is because that's not enough to keep me going. I remember being early in my marriage when we had the three kids under three, and it was just, I mean, you ran from morning till they went down, and it was just gnarly. And I remember telling my wife, is this what, you know, I loved them. I totally loved them, but is this what it's about? And then I had a job I hated on top of that. It's like I couldn't get high enough to be able to do that life. There was no purpose. It was just like getting through. I didn't want to live that way. I didn't know that there was something grander, although inside of me I always felt there was. You know, Scripture tells us that God puts eternity into us. He puts inside of us there's something more to life. There's something more. Well, I'm telling you what the more is. It's the call of God in your life, and it's the purpose he puts you in this generation for. You were made on purpose for a purpose. And when you begin to find that, life becomes an adventure rather than a drudgery. How many of us have woke up in the morning and go, dang it, I'm alive still? How many of us even today sitting in here love God, but when it starts getting 3 o'clock Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, you start getting that feeling, oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. You know, God's got more for you than that, but it's going to require you to go through some storms because they're coming your way. So we're told, well, let's just go ahead and pick it up and let's see what their storm teaches us about our storms, about who God is and what God wants to do. So we pick up the story in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It tells us that day when evening came, you know, that day, that particular day, and remember, this is Peter now telling Mark about an incident that happened years earlier about what happened with the 12 of them and Jesus. And he's saying, that day, Jesus had been doing a bunch of stuff. If you read earlier in Mark, you'll see all this stuff Jesus was doing. He was busy about his Father's business. He was healing people, and he was tired. And earlier, he had told them, when I go down to Galilee, because we're going to be, this storm takes place on the Lake of Galilee, he tells them, get a boat ready, because the people are pressing in on me so much, I need to have a place to get some safety. And that was When God's word says things like that, I don't know the exact verse, but you can look it up because I told you guys last week to read up on Mark, and how many did that? Okay. I know, I didn't like homework either. It's like homework. Test? Ah! That was a little test there. But anyway, we didn't do that good. Last week, that was recorded, and I really didn't even share it with you, but it was recorded that Jesus said to get a boat ready. You know, when Jesus is doing this, he's teaching his guys stuff. You need to be able to be effective in life. You need to be able to get away a little bit. You need to be able to distance yourself in the midst of all life and take a break. And you need to have some people around you that will build you and help you. So he tells these guys, get the boat ready, I'm tired. He said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So there was a purpose, there was a plan. We're going to go in this boat, now this is evening, because it was the end of the day. I'm pretty good at, saying the obvious. When it says that evening came, I snap right to that and go, okay, it's getting dark. That's the kind of Bible scholar I am. I get into the words. So it says this. They left the crowd behind and they took him along just as he was in the boat. I don't even know what that means. Like you get dressed up to go in the boat or... But what they probably did was four of the apostles were professional fishermen, fish that lake all the time. They were seasoned men. They knew how to fish, and they probably put Jesus with Peter and James and John and Andrew if they took four guys in the boat. Scripture tells us here in a second that they took more boats, so he said, let's go over. So if I was with a real important person, we'd want to put them with the most seasoned people. It just makes sense. So they get into the boat, and it says, there were also other boats with them, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, and Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. He must have been really tired. I mean, a squall is such a bad storm that it appears to be raining, although it might not. You can't really see, and the waves are huge. And the sound of the wind, because the Lake of Galilee sits about 680 feet below sea level, surrounded by hills. So the wind would come over the hills and rush into the, and it would rush down into this lake. The lake's about 64 miles square, so it's pretty big. And they were going to take a six-mile journey to go to what was called the Decapolis, which was 10 Gentile cities. Earlier in Mark, it's recorded that Jesus was doing so many things that people were coming from the north and the south and the east and the west. But these were mainly Jews. The Decapolis was an area of 10 cities that were Gentile. And so nobody was coming to Jesus. They didn't really care. It wasn't that big a deal. Jesus was going to go to them. The guys in the boat really didn't know the destination. But when Jesus tells you to do something, there's a plan in that, and you can be assured that the destination is there. When God puts something strong in your heart, that is proof that the destination is there. It's going to happen. You just don't know how that's going to take place. So your job is to keep paddling right where you're at, right what you're in. So it says, the furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Normally in a storm, and if you've seen any of the movies on, well, anywhere, with storms, they always turn the boat to point into the waves and the direction of where the storm's coming, because they want to pierce through the wave, and so the wave will take that, and it doesn't have much room to swamp the boat. These guys were fighting to get the boat into the storm so that they could get through these waves, but obviously as it was coming up and down, the waves were so big, the storm was so circular around them, that's what a squall means, that they were being swamped no matter what they do. And swamp means the water's coming into the boat and it's getting ready to sink. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? You know what is interesting to me in that? I wonder how long they fought those waves. It doesn't say. I wonder if they fought them for 6 hours. 5 hours. How many of us, when we have a problem, we'll handle it. We'll take care of it. And sometimes that works. And then sometimes we can get some other people. Peter, John, Andrew, come on, help, keep this thing going. And sometimes that helps. That works too. But you know what God has a tendency to do? He has a tendency to take you to a storm that you can't handle. It's out of your control. And you know what's a real bummer about that whole thing? These guys were obedient. They didn't even do nothing wrong. Jesus said, hey guys, we're going to go across the lake. Everybody needs to hop in. We're going to head over. They said, perfect. Hey, it's one thing to have a storm when you cause it. And aren't we weird about that? When we cause a storm, and how many know before we even head into it, we're heading for a storm? This isn't a good move. And we go right there, and then we act all surprised when it isn't a good move. But let God do something in our lives that isn't a good move. And how dare he? Because our perception of good is often skewed. When God is leading you into something, there's a plan involved. And he is taking you somewhere. And I say this oftentimes. You're either heading towards a storm, you're in a storm, or you're heading out of a storm. But believe me, storms are going to be in your life. And God means them to build you, to take you to someplace different than you were before, and someplace different in you. It's a big deal. So we'll talk more about all this, but let's read on. They said, teacher, don't you care that we drown? So they finally got to him. You know, it's kind of funny, too. When we think things are out of control with us, we think God's out of control, too. Like he doesn't know and like he doesn't care. Their first real experience with Jesus, when it came right down to their heart of hearts, was that God doesn't care about the situation they were in. He is distant from them. You know, I see that in people. We can feel that God cares for us when it's lining upright. But when we get in an out-of-control situation, and God will take you to a storm that you can't control on purpose, and you know what that reveals? That reveals where you're really at with him. Do you know that in your storms, God is never closer to you than in a storm? Even if you don't feel him, he's right there. He was right in the boat with these guys. And they thought he was like them. Now, they've seen him do miracles. They've witnessed that. And some of us sitting here today have witnessed that too. I'm good with faith for you. And if you're going through a storm, man, I can quote 7 scriptures for you. I can tell you some great things that you need to hang on to in your storm. And I believe God is going to get you through it. Because if God took you to it, he'll get you through. I can do it. Me, it's what the heck's going on? God wanted to show these guys, I'm with you guys too. I'm with you. I'm with you when you can't even do what you thought you were doing so good. You're sailors. You think you're awesome in something? Wait till you get to the end of that. Oh, I'm great in relationships. Oh, yeah? Okay. We'll see how that rolls. When that doesn't work for you. Oh, they love me at my job. I'm really important. Hey, here's your pink slip. Just so it's awesome for you, we're giving it to you on Friday. So you can think about it all weekend. So, it says this. He said, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, be quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know who I am? See, fear and faith can't reside together. They cannot coexist. I will either walk in faith, and faith means I have faith in something. It's not my faith. It's my faith in God, that he's not abandoned me, that I'm still okay, that he still loves me, that he still has a plan, that this is not the end, because sometimes we think it is. Or if I don't, I have fear, and I start running with that fear. Then he says this, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? They don't know. See, one of the reasons God allows storms is to show you who he is. Even the wind and the waves obey him. They knew who Jesus was. They hung out with him. They saw him. But he has to become something real to them. I've talked to numerous people, you know, and you're in recovery? Yeah, I'm in recovery. Who isn't? Right? Life. If you're living, you're in recovery. So, you know, you're dealing with stuff. Anybody in here not dealing with stuff? You just, if you say no, it's like, oh, he's heading towards a storm. Keep battling. By the way, that's the answer to being in a storm. Call on Jesus and keep paddling. Okay, so anyways, there's some questions here we need to look at. And there's four of them. Teacher, don't you care? That's the number one question. And there's not a person that I've ever met that has been in a hard trial that hasn't said that. Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you understand? Where are you? Why are you letting this happen? Second question is, Jesus asked them, you still have no faith? Why are you so terrified? Third one is, who is this? Who is this? Because that's a question you will have to ask when you're in your storm. Who is this Jesus? Is this Jesus only hangs with me when I'm doing everything good? Is this the Jesus, get me out of hell card Jesus? Who is this? Who is this man to you? And then the fourth one is, where are we going? That's not in their text, but that would be my first question. Let's go in the boats. We're going to go over. Hey, it's night. Where are we going? You know, I'm a seasoned sailor here. We don't usually like to go at night. There's no lights on those boats, you know. Well, they do. They had a little candle, and they're wood boats, so that's a little risky to start with. Listen, obedience to Jesus will invariably lead you to trouble. Right? How many try to walk with Jesus and then try to remain morally pure? That's trouble. That's a problem. Hey, you walk with the Lord, and that's what trips us out. Their circumstances were beyond their control, and they went right into a storm. Second part problem they had is, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? You know, some of us think that Jesus' care for us is part-time. He cares part-time, and then other times he doesn't care. No, he cares always. He never not cares. And he will take you into the storm. And the biggest storm that we face in my family, of course, was the loss of my son. Up to this point, I don't know. I don't know what can be bigger. I know there can be more. But I'll tell you, in that journey, because when you face a storm, you're heading in a direction. And when I was never involved that much with people like I am today who have lost children, like because of that incident and what that has done in our lives. And you can travel in that circle. And I've met a number of people that had belief in Jesus, strong belief in Jesus, and they lost their child. And in that storm, they jumped boat. They bailed out in the storm. Because that's always an option. That's always an option in a storm, is to bail out. Jesus isn't going to leave you. You're just in a whole new storm. And you didn't even finish the other storm. And so we've seen that. And I know those people that have jumped ship, I get it. I get it. They were deeply, devastatingly wounded. And they were mad at God. But I'm more like these guys in the boat. I went to Jesus in my storm, in our family storm, and I said, What in the world? Don't you care? What is up with that? And I was obeying him. Not 100% perfect. I'm a human. But man, my life's, I've walked with him. And see, what God develops in you in a storm is a deeper relationship with him. You know, you can only be upset with someone and angry with someone if you're close to him, if you trust him. So I love Jesus, and that allowed me to speak to Jesus in the storm in a way I never spoke to him before. Super angry and disappointed. Served you all these years. Some of you know the whole deal. I've shared it a million times. But I share it because it's a storm that I'm still in at a level. But you know what I learned? I learned a depth of relationship with Jesus that I never had. I could literally say anything I wanted to him, and he didn't leave me. See, some of us in here struggle with a shallow relationship. If I do something wrong, Jesus kicks me out. If I did, you know, and we're playing with these little things that we make such a big thing. Wait till you get a big thing. Because you will. We don't know what storm you're going to get. But you do know this, you're going to get them. God wants you to come out of them better. I understand Jesus in a relationship way better than I ever have. I could actually be mad at him and he didn't leave me. He never even once rebuked me. But you know what he said to me one day in my heart, silently, no horns were blasting or anything. He said, I lost my son too. See, you got to, see, that's part of why we go through storms, is that we can build the empathy to understand another person's pain. I was talking to a brother recently that is going through a divorce. And he told me, he said, I understand the pain of that like I never did before. I understand when someone says they're hurting, I understand that pain. See, when you understand that pain, you can minister to that pain. I may have been in a bad place and you shared with something with somebody and they acted like you told them, is it warm today? It's like, well, that was absolutely no help at all. Absolutely no help. In fact, my wife and I have said, a number of times with we'd say, can you believe someone said that? And it's just, they just don't know. They just don't know what to say. But when you go through that storm, because storms are meant to, they're destructive by nature, but God wants to make them constructive in our lives. And you'll come out of most of them. You'll come out of most of them. It's what happened in between the entering and the leaving of the storm that's important. Quit asking why God, and look at what God is doing. Jesus was sleeping in the storm. That's amazing. He was sleeping. They should have gone to sleep. I don't know how long they were fighting that baby. They should have gone to sleep. Listen to what Psalm 127 says. In the first verse, it says this. Unless the Lord builds the house. Do you know that the Lord is building your house? You are a house that God is building. He says he's going to inhabit you and he's building this house. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. You can try all kinds of stuff to build your house. And many of us have. We've tried to destroy the house and God wouldn't let us do it. Then as we labor in vain. We're not getting anywhere. When I tried to build God's church, because that was my career, I got a teepee. When I quit trying to build it, and God started to say, okay, let's do it my way. You know what he had to deal with? My fear. I didn't want to do something different. Recovery, I didn't, you know, those are the people I love, those are the people I connect. I don't, you know, how that would be weird. And what is everybody going to say? Who cares? I had to get over that. You're going to have to get over your fears. That's the way, because fear and faith cannot exist together. I have my thoughts on the political process we're in right now. And apparently, everybody on Facebook's an expert. At least at name calling. Yeah. People defriending, you know, hey, bottom line is, I don't care in the big picture. Jesus is in charge. If we're going to go through a storm as a country, we're going to go through a storm. Right now, this state is voting to defund Christian colleges. Because why should we give money to student loans to go to a Christian college? There's a separation between state and that. We're not going to support that anymore. And it's already passed one of the groups in Sacramento. So, you know, whatever storm it is, God's big enough. God is big enough. What's the worst thing that can happen? We die. Well, we're going to do that anyway. It's only a matter of how and when. Right? We should be fearless. In your storm, you're going someplace. But listen what Psalm 127 says. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. I know lots of us in here have stand guard over stuff because we've been hurt over the city of our lives. And we stand guard. We're not letting anybody in. We're going to keep this out there. We're standing in this. Hey, the guardman watches in vain. It's all destructive anyway. God has to do it. And when he's building something, he's got to deal with things that take us into storms, at least inside here. Because this is the storm. Whatever happens out there, that's going to happen. But the storm we need to mostly be worried about is what that storm does to the storm in my head. How many know that? It's our head that takes whatever situation we're in and runs to the future. How many in here paint great futures for themselves? Why not? Yeah, I try. I used to do when I coached, I used to do this with guy, I'd throw the ball. We know we'd have all these drills where you had to, quarterback would throw it and you would be facing the opposite direction and you had to turn and wherever the ball was, you had, you know, a split second to adjust to catch it. And this guy kept dropping it and he goes, I'm trying. And we took a ball one day and I set it out there and I go, well, here, try to pick that up. He goes, no, I said, no, you picked it up. Try to pick it up. He goes, well, I don't. Yeah, just keep trying. Don't pick it up. Just try. That's trying. Either you pick it up or you don't pick it up. Trying is, it doesn't really say a whole lot. So instead of trying to catch it, let's do this. Catch it. Same thing with fear and faith. I try to walk in faith. How's that look? Horrible. Because what does trying to walk in faith look like? It looks like fear. That's what it looks like. In fact, it is fear. That's exactly what it is. You, and this is a capacity of your heart. You can only hold faith or you can only hold fear at one time. You cannot hold both of them. So you will either have faith in your storm or you will have fear in your storm. And the fear is in here. These guys panicked. Don't you care? We're going to die. No, he said they were going across the lake. It was impossible for them to die unless he lies. He's either a liar or he's telling them the truth. There is no oops with God. Missed that detail. That's why you never have to help God fill in the points. Lord, I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you what's really going on here. You don't understand my situation because I'm totally unique. No, you're unique, But you're not the only one that has ever done anything first. Do you know that? You're not the one that has ever gone through anything first or ever done anything first. That's why we need other people, because there are other people that have gone through what you're just entering into. And in our case, it's Jesus. He's gone through everything. And if he says you're going to the other side, because Scripture tells you and me that he's going to work everything out for good for those that love him and are called to his purpose. So everything out for good. So you take my son to heaven, that's a good thing. I'm going to miss him in between, and I'm really going to miss him. And it's painful and all that goes with that. But that's a good thing. And I don't know all the other good things, but I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of good things in the midst of carrying a load you don't carry. Because that's part of walking with God, is you get to carry stuff you don't want to carry. And some things you're going to carry for the rest of your life. And you don't necessarily want to carry it, and you can't even get it off your shoulder. But God's resources are enough to get you through it and bring you out the other side. Where is your faith? Why are you so afraid? Listen, God's resources, right where you're at, are enough to get you through whatever he allows you to be in. Don't put a time frame on the expiration of it. The expiration is his business. The destination is his business. Who is this? This is God in the flesh. He was letting his disciples know. And then you know what he says? It's a real strange thing, and it was twisting in my head all week long. When he deals with the storm, it says in verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Why would he say quiet to waves? Why wouldn't he say stop? Why wouldn't he just say be calm? You know why? I think he was talking to his disciples. Quiet the storm in your head. Quiet the storm in your head. And be still and know that I am God. Because you can't hear God when the storm is in your head. When we have thoughts that circle us and squall in our head, we can't hear nothing. That's be still. Quiet. You need to be able to rest in your storm. See, if you can't sleep in the storm, then you're walking in fear. I'm not just talking to you like I got this thing wired. But the truth is that if I'm tossing and turning all night long about this situation, that means I'm walking in fear. And I'm not talking about thinking about something, because sometimes we can have some brainstorms, you know, in the bathroom and at night too. You ever have that brainstorm just come, you know? I haven't either, but but he said, quiet, be still. Quiet the storm in your head, fellas. Quiet the storm. I rebuke the waves. And there was a demonic thing going on here too. Because Jesus was going to a city. Well, let's go to the next verse and just... He said to his disciples in verse 40, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith. No faith. You know what? They had faith for some things. But when it came to a storm, they had no faith. You want to find out where your faith is at? Wait till you're in a storm. That your faith will show forth real quickly. And it's not to condemn you. It's to show where you're at. You know, if you're just starting a journey into something and you're coming out of a storm and into a new way of life, it's going to be different, because the very next verse, which takes us to chapter 5, is they were going to the Gerasenes, and says in that verse, if we can go to 5 right now, he says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Another way to say that is Gadarenes. But when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit from the tombs came to meet him. If you read farther into that story, you'll see that this guy who lived in the tombs, he couldn't even live in society. It says he cried out day and night. He cried out day and night. And you know what? God heard his cries. And God was going to go meet him because he could not be one of the guys that came to see Jesus from north, south, east, and west. Because sometimes we're in such a place that God has to find us. And he hears your cries. He gets it. And so he was preparing. It says when that boat finally arrived, because they did get through the storm, there is a destination in the storm. There is a destination. And when they got to that place, it says Jesus stepped out, but everybody else stayed in. And they saw something they had not experienced before. See, Jesus is going to use your storm. And that's why the enemy probably tried to stop them from coming this way and put up that storm. The enemy is going to try to stop you from getting to where God wants you. And there's a reason you're in the storm. And it's to take what you learn and to grow that so that you are a blessing. Those guys now have an experience in a life and death situation where Jesus came through, where they thought they were going to die. Because I'll tell you what, one of the aspects of being in a horrible storm in your inner being is you want to die. You just want the pain to go away. How many have been there? Well, you just want the pain to go away. You just want it to go. And you know what? Only God can hear that. And you know then what God does? Is first Jesus comes to you, and then he brings his people. And they come to you to help you. But only the ones that have endured the storm themselves so that they can effectively and lovingly minister to you out of how they have been ministered to in the storm. The last person you want to minister to you in the storm is Mr. Happy Face, who's never experienced nothing. And that's that just, you know, makes you homicidal. That's, you know what holiness really is? Holiness is living without anything hidden. Holiness is being transparent. You know what transparent is? That means from the outside, you can see what's in the inside. That's what God wants us to be to the world we're in. So God will do things on the outside to get the inside okay. And then he will use that inside to minister to other people who from their outside might look okay, but the inside's in great storm, great turmoil. So, there is going to be in your life always the story before the glory. So when you're in your storm, you don't have to keep asking, why am I going through this? Why? God, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And whatever he's doing, you do. And if it's sleeping, sleep. It's all going to be okay. If he tells you to row this way, row that way. If he tells you to float and don't do anything, float. He's doing something in it. And it's going to take you deeper. And this is the other thing. Talk to him. You can tell him like they did and like I did in my storm. I've had lots of storms. I have storms now. But there are the great storms. And then there are the great storms. And so talk to him. And then keep paddling. Because he's going to get you through it. Very rarely will God take you out of the storm. He will take you through it into calm water, and then you get to stay in that calm water like these guys did until they see the crazy demon-possessed guy running at them. Then I was like, oh, another storm. I don't know if that, you know what, I just had a thought. It might be wrong, but I don't know if they said, oh, Jesus. They snapped to real quick. Problem, Jesus. as opposed to trying to fix it themselves. Wouldn't that be awesome? As soon as you run into a problem, you call Jesus rather than wait till it gets all gnarly. Nobody jumped out of the boat and said, "I'll handle this, Jesus. Come here, crazy." Jesus, he's calling you. Be like Monty Python. Run away, run away, paddle away, paddle away. How many of us are like that when we start, you know? Hey, anytime you follow Jesus, this is the bottom line. You got to be brave. You got to be brave. And you got to have faith. And because he's going to take you to what is unfamiliar to you. Why? Because he's got to develop in you what is unfamiliar to you. What is not the way you normally operate. How many sitting here today would, you know, it wasn't that long ago, you think, I wouldn't be sitting in church. I wouldn't even go to, you know, get my court card signed in a meeting. I don't go to that meeting. Why am I going to go to church? Anyway. Listen. When you have doubts, doubt isn't fear. Doubt is just dealing with an aspect of faith. I don't know, God, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm never talking to you about stupid faith. Or, you know, you're just running. Oh, Jesus will protect, yeah, Jesus will protect everything I do. Don't be that guy or gal. Be that person that you take your steps. Because all through Scripture talks about walking with God. It never says, and then they sprinted with the Lord. It doesn't. Believe me, I look for it. Then they hurried up God's plan. Then they expedited with the direction God was taking them in. Then they went to fast forward. And so on and so forth. So when you're going through your stuff, which you will, keep paddling, go to the Lord, and realize that what you enter into, you will come out of. You will come out of. How many have made it through things they never thought they'd make it out of? And here you sit. You're going to make it through this storm too. And then someday we're going to sail into heaven. And then we're done with the storms on earth. And then we get to see what God's got going on all through the cosmos and everything else he's got going. Because he'll be taking us from glory to glory. And we will look back on this. You know, here's one thing I will share. Here's another thing I learned, and I got about a minute left after my son's passing. I wanted to ask God, man, I had some questions to ask him. One, first of all, what in the world were you thinking? And how, you know, this is the worst thing ever. And I mean, I say it at a level now that I didn't say it at a level then. It was way deeper, way from a place of hurt. And I wanted to ask God all these questions about the whole scenario. How come you didn't deliver him? How come, you know, my son had to struggle? He had so many great qualities. How come you just didn't fix that thing in him? How come we didn't get a grandchild? How come I couldn't have? My fury name from me dies with me. There's no more Furies for me. That's a loss to me. I don't have a son to carry on my name, you know, and I never even thought that that wouldn't happen. So I've promised my kids, whoever changes their last name from their dad's to my name, they get the inheritance. It's my plan. Hope it works. But, you know, after a season of this, I got to a place of peace, and it's just like, you know what? The moment I cross from this life into eternity and literally see with those heavenly eyes and see my son, it's like all the questions don't matter. We're together, and I'll never not be with him in a relational sense ever again, in a separation sense ever again. You know, whether we do things in heaven or whatever, just like in the natural world, we're doing stuff and we see our kids when we see them. But I'll never not be able to see them. And it's like, well, what do I care then? This life will seem like a puff of air. And it will, and it really will. You know, that does not in any way minimize our journey here, because we have a job to do here and there's a role for us here, and it's purposeful, and it you know, we are accountable for that. But when we're there with all of our loved ones, it'll be a place of where it'll be, the questions I think in so many of our minds will just melt away. And what I don't want for you guys is to look back at your journey here and go, God, I wish I would have walked more in faith. Gosh, why was I so fear-bound? Why was I that way? Oh, man, if only I knew now what I didn't know then. Hey, I'm telling you, right now, God's got you guys. You are breathing air. You have opportunity. So the storm is just another path to wherever God's leading you. Enjoy it. Don't bail out. Don't bail out of the boat. Bad move. If you have to glue yourself to the seat, just keep paddling. Keep paddling. You'll get through it. And there's going to be something greater done in you, and then ultimately through you in the journey. Even my failures, Joe, mainly through your failures. Okay. All right, let's get out of here. So how many want to take that step? You're going to say it now. How many are in a storm right now? How many are in a storm? Okay. Keep trusting. Keep paddling. Do what's placed in front of you. Wake up the Lord. Don't tell him he doesn't care. He does care. Just tell him what you feel. Tell him what you feel and just keep doing it. How many know that they're going to be heading into a storm and it's all right now? Awesome. That's a handful of you. How many know what I'm talking about as... How many did I lose after I said good morning? Why don't we stand up? Let's pray. Dear Lord, repeat after me if you would. I know storms come. I know storms you send. They aren't designed to destroy me. They're designed to make me into a better person, of greater influence, of deeper compassion, of greater wisdom, and a more powerful life. And I thank you for that. So I ask you, God, when I start running in the storms in my head, tell me to be quiet, be still, and know that you are God. And help me, God, to walk in faith and keep paddling. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great day.